On June 29th, the Supreme Court announced a 5-4 decision in the Ricci versus DeStefano case, in which 20 New Haven, Connecticut firefighters, 19 white and one Latino, sued the city, claiming racial discrimination. The city had declined to certify promotion tests given in 2003, in which no African American and only two Latino fighters scored high enough to be promoted. The suit was filed in 2004, and since the city had thrown out the tests, no one has been promoted for the past 7 years. Although the percentages of whites, blacks, and Hispanics in the department at that time did not differ too much from the racial makeup of the city as a whole, whites were somewhat overrepresented, and much more so in leadership positions. 18 of the department's 21 captains were white. Decisions in the district and appellate courts supported the city's position that the test results were discriminatory on their face, and certifying them would be a violation of Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. But the Supreme Court reversed those rulings, stating the city's fear of a lawsuit by black firefighters was not a good enough reason to deny promotions to the firefighters who scored well. Now the case goes back to the district court, where most observers expect the judge to order the city's Civil Service Commission to certify the 2003 exam results. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Victor Bolden, the City of New Haven's Corporation Counsel, whose job it was to defend the city's handling of the exam results. Bolden explains how it came to be that the city had to give so much weight to a written exam, and what impact this Supreme Court decision could have on future discrimination cases.
There was a memorandum of understanding between the city and the firefighters that goes back into the 1980s, in which it sort of set weights for how any sort of civil service examination or process was going to be scored, and the weighting was 60% for the written portion and 40% for the oral. And that is actually significant in terms of understanding the, A, one, in terms of sort of the disparate impact, but two, understanding the difficulty the city was going to have in trying to say this test is actually job-related, in that the weighting of the exam was done by a process some 20 years ago and not done and calibrated for the particular examination that was going to be administered here. And there, you know, there's certainly some testing experts have talked about, and I think there was certainly testimony before the Civil Service Board about how that kind of weighting, you know, often can disfavor minority candidates. It isn't a question of not having the knowledge, it's just a question of, is that really the right way to sort of gauge who's actually going to be the best lieutenant or best captain for the job?
Was there any part of the promotion tests that involved actual firefighting practice?
That's an excellent question. I mean, one of the concerns that actually certainly had been illuminated through the course of the Civil Service Board hearings was whether or not the City of New Haven had been using a more antiquated process for deciding who could be leaders. I mean, again, everyone who took the exam is a member of the fire department, and they're all firefighters. They've already reached some threshold level of, you know, in terms of their competence and expertise. And the question then is, who among that group are the people best situated to be leaders? And there was discussion about sort of the assessment centers, which really sort of more tries to sort of capture how people would respond in particular situations rather than simply asking them to study material and, you know, give it back in a multiple choice format. And there's some that say that that actually provides a better sense of how someone's going to respond to the real world situations that firefighters face.
But in New Haven, that wasn't used at all?
That was not used, and that was certainly one of the concerns. The members of the Civil Service Board, and indeed the two members who voted not to certify, both of them expressed concerns about whether or not the testing process was sufficient. They had concerns about whether or not this actually was the right test. You know, that was one of, and it was certainly the prime motivation behind their decision-making process.
Victor Bolden, some experts say this ruling will have very little impact on employment discrimination law beyond this one instance in New Haven, and others say it's a major reinterpretation of civil rights law. What do you think?
There is obviously a new standard that the Supreme Court has put in place, and there has been some questioning, if not an undermining, of a key provision of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And the concept of disparate impact was sort of first recognized by the Supreme Court itself in a unanimous opinion in Griggs v. Duke Power Company in 1971. Those very principles were sort of codified by Congress and made expressly a part of the Civil Rights Act in 1991 by Congress. We now have the U.S. Supreme Court casting considerable doubt on, if not the constitutionality, the viability of using disparate impact as a means of guiding employers and protecting employees in the workplace from discrimination on the basis of race, gender, ethnicity, or religion, not only in terms of the most overt practices, but in any form. So on a meta level, there's the question about what's happened to Title VII. Has Title VII now been rewritten or at least curtailed by the actions of the U.S. Supreme Court? On another level, are employers who now have to understand and work with the new standard the Supreme Court has put in place, which is if they are faced with the kind of dilemma that the city of New Haven is, where there is the prospect of a suit under the Title VII's disparate impact provisions, but there also may be the prospect of someone then claiming that there is a basis for a suit under disparate treatment, there is the new standard of an employer having to make sure that if they decide to use another process, that they're going to need to have a strong basis and evidence for doing so, although it's not entirely clear what that strong basis is. It's something short of a violation, but seemingly something more than simply statistical evidence that there's a racial disparity. So that's sort of a secondary level, that employers have to deal with, meet what and understand this new standard. And then obviously the third level is the most immediate to the city of New Haven, and what's my primary concern, which is figuring out what the decision means for the city going forward when we go back to the district court, as well as what does it mean for the city going forward beyond that in terms of how it looks at civil service exams and how it makes decisions about how it's going to both hire and promote civil service employees and ensure they have the best people, but also able to take advantage of the great diversity that this city has as well as the nation has as well.
That was Victor Bolden, Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven, Connecticut. For more information and analysis on the case, visit SCOTUSblog.com.